We now take you to a local mall where Santa Claus is asking William Nylander and Mitch Marner what they want for Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas, children! Why, if it isn't William Nylander and Mitch Marner of the Toronto Maple Leafs! Come, sit down on my lap and tell me what you want Santa to bring you for Christmas.
Yo, Santa, I'm William Nylander, and I would really love a new Tesla for Christmas. I love those cars. They're so fast and expensive.
Santa, you know what I would really, really like? I'm really looking forward to playing NHL 18. I would love to find that under my tree Christmas morning. I'm Mitch Marner.
Yeah, well, you know what I'd like, Santa, for Christmas? I'd like a new diamond-studded sports watch that works 600 feet under sea so that I can swim with the dolphins. I'm William Nylander.
Santa, you know what else would be really neat? A wireless Xbox controller. Would really love one of those. Really, really would. I'm Mitch Marner.
Santa, you know what I would want? Because I'm William Nylander? I'd like a new iPhone with even more gigabytes of storage to save all the phone numbers from all the girlfriends I have. Because I'm William Nylander. I'm very handsome.
Santa, this would be the ultimate. I really want to find this under my tree. Forget the other presents. I want a signed Austin Matthews jersey. Please, Santa, give me one of those.
Santa, I could really use another box at the Air Canada Center, soon to be called the Scotiabank Place, because it's damn cool, and I like to be cool because I'm William Nylander.
Santa, you know what I want? I want to have a 12-goal hockey season. I'm Mitch Marner.
Santa, I'd like for my friend Mitch Marner to complete more of my razor-sharp passes because he's not getting a lot of goals and I feel bad for him. I only have 8, though, on the year. That's no good. Contract soon.
You know what, Santa? You know what I'd like to get? I want to get something for my friend here over here. I want to get him a backbone. A spine. He's a little jellyfish. He's weak.
Santa, he needs a girlfriend badly. I can't help him even though I look like a girl. I'm William Nylander.
Santa, I want a pair of scissors so I can cut those golden locks that fly through the air every time William Nylander avoids a body check. I'm Mitch Marner.
Oh, Lord. Do they know I'm just a stranger dressed in a Santa Claus outfit?
So really, how long before Santa has to break up that fight between those two? Because that was like borderline violent almost at the end. What was going on?
Not very long, considering it's Mitch Marner and Willie Nylander.
Now we're talking, what, 9 goals between them? Something like that, I think.
Ooh,
you know, maybe not even that.
No, I think you're at 12 now.
Wow.
12 combined.
So let's put this in perspective so we both don't end up losing our minds. It's much ado about nothing, isn't it? I mean, here we are talking about how the Leafs have all this balanced scoring, but they're not getting the balanced scoring from the ones that people expect it most, which are their young guns, especially when one is mysteriously out with a so-called concussion. So really, is this a bah humbug kind of Christmas for the Maple Leafs?
No. It's funny because I don't think it's at all a bah humbug Christmas because I had the opportunity to listen and to read what's been going on with the Leafs today. And it seems like Mitch Marner is being heralded as the next December 25th Christmas-born baby.
A little bit of superstardom there, eh?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
And it's like, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? Yes, he scored 2 end-to-end goals on consecutive games, one in the afternoon, one in the evening. But that's only his 3rd and 4th goals of the season. What are we talking about here? This is crazy.
For sure.
This is,
it is. It's insane.
I mean, yeah, it was a 4-point night, but come on. It was Carolina. Carolina with, oh my God, that goaltending. Did you see that goaltending on that Tuesday afternoon
game? The Ballad of Scott Darling.
It was terrible. I believe it was like 6 out of 8 goals were very, very questionable.
Suspect, big time.
And the rebound control was awful. So the Leafs benefited from that bad goaltending. Mitch Marner and the Leafs benefited from that. And then last night, I don't know what Columbus tried to do, and they just let little Mitch Marner just speed by them. And it was a nice goal. It was a nice snipe into the corner. But again, it's his 4th goal of the season. I think that's like he's on pace for 10 to 12 goals. That's still a disappointment. Yet all I'm hearing is that he's back.
Yeah, I guess you could say timing was everything because it happened during the NHL 100th celebration. What happened on your side of the equation, I wonder? Jonathan Drouin, not so good, huh?
Well, what happened was there was a special outdoor game, as everyone knows, in Ottawa. And the Montreal Canadiens forgot that it was outdoors. I don't even think they showed up. I think they stayed indoors. It was terrible. It was I couldn't even... Normally, you can tweet stuff during the game because stuff is happening and you want to get it out there. But there was literally nothing to tweet about other than that they just didn't show up. And it was a boring game. And I don't think it had anything to do with the... I mean, yes, it was really, really cold, but it was just Montreal didn't show up. Because, let's face it, the Senators were playing in the same weather, and they showed up, so why didn't the Montreal Canadiens show up?
Which is funny when you consider that in the Senators' case, they were completely overshadowed by their owner's decision to release the kind of comments that could best be described as contentious and controversial at the worst time. I mean, that was pretty ridiculous by Melnick. Regardless of whether you believe he was in the right to talk about things like that, what about the timing? Really? Are you going to mention that right before this event, which is basically exclusively made for the fans?
Yes, Eugene Melnick's timing was very suspect, considering what was being said and what was going on with the celebration. I'm sure Gary Bettman wasn't very happy. We know the fans weren't very happy. A lot of the people in the media were questioning what his angle was. It just wasn't the right time. And the funny thing was, there seemed to be a lot of a rallying point by the fans the day of and leading up to that 100th anniversary game. Yet the very next game back into their Canadian Tire Center, only 13,000 people showed up.
Oh, boy.
Which was like a reverse rallying cry against Melnick, where it was like, oh, yeah, you're going to blame us for not showing up to games? Well, take this. We're not even going to show up even more. Only 13,000 showed up.
That's insane.
That's unsustainable. It's unsustainable.
Especially when you know that last year, coming within one goal of the Stanley Cup Finals, they weren't able to get people to fill the seats. Which is so astonishing when you consider that this is a market that's had problems with this for a very long time. This is not the first time we've heard about Ottawa having trouble keeping their team. And when you know how difficult it is and how elitist an experience, an exclusive experience it is to get an NHL franchise, you'd think that they would come out and support the team. Why do you think they're not getting that support? Like, why is Melnick trying to paint himself as doing all the right things and no one's listening? Is there more than meets the eye in this regard, or is it just a bad market for hockey?
I don't think it's a bad market for hockey. I've had the opportunity to go see a game in Ottawa, and it's way outside of the city. As everyone knows, it's in Kanata, and especially if you go to the game and afterwards you want to look for something to do, there's literally nothing around there. It was a Home Depot, so if you want to hang out in Home Depot after the game, you can do so. And I think maybe a Lowe's or something like that. There's nothing around. You have to go back into the city. And that was a St. Patrick's Day weekend that I did go to the game. So you would think that of all the weekends to go for a Senators game, there'd be something around to do. But there was nothing around. And so now he's obviously talking about moving the arena back into the city, which, of course, made sense in the first place. But in terms of the market, no, I think they can support it. And maybe it's even ticket prices. Ottawa is not as well off as, you know, some of the major cities such as Toronto. Sure. Where, you know, there's 7 million people around to, if 5,000 don't want to go to a game, there's going to be another 5,000 just like that ready to go to a Leafs game, whereas Ottawa doesn't have that luxury. It's the market differences, but I believe the market still can support a team there. There's no question about it.
Well, and it's kind of interesting how poetic things are that once again we're reading about Dion Phaneuf getting the lion's share of criticism. That guy can't win wherever he goes. I mean, he orchestrated his exit from Calgary because he lost the room, and a lot of people there in the Calgary Flames organization no longer felt he could be a leader. Then he comes to Toronto, ends up being played literally out of position, expected to be a number one D-man, expecting to be the rallying cry for the blue and white to go out and vanquish their enemies. And now he finds himself in another new environment. You know, it's a new landscape, a chance for him to succeed. And once again, everyone is now saying, who is this guy? Why do we have his contract? And what can we possibly win when you've got Dion Phaneuf on the blue line?
Yeah, I don't know what it is with poor Dion. Considering that he's not the go-to guy anymore, and he's the whipping boy of the Senators fans. I'm not sure why that's the case. Maybe it's, again, he was voted as one of the most overrated players a few years back, and maybe it's just professional jealousy. I don't know. He got a good contract. He's got a nice house in PEI, and he has a Hollywood wife. So I don't know. I don't know why people are jealous of him.
There are reasons right there for envy and professional jealousy. You know, it's funny, for our 20th episode that we decided to do a sketch involving William Nylander and Mitch Marner, because as a Leafs fan, those are the two players that may make or break this Maple Leaf season when it's all said and done. Like, if you really think about it, if those two end up getting hot and playing well, there's nothing these Maple Leafs can't do. But when they struggle, they struggle pretty mightily. It's almost embarrassing how badly they struggle. But, you know, this is Toronto. This is in Ottawa. This is in Montreal. These players are given a free ride, a free pass. Do you agree with that? That's weird.
A free pass?
Is it weird?
In terms of...
Well, it seems like they can do no wrong. I mean, both of them literally at this stage in the game still are considered players that are developing. And you can't really argue in terms of their physical age. But it makes you wonder, are they really part of the grand future of the Toronto Maple Leafs? Do you see William Nylander and Mitch Marner lifting a Stanley Cup?
That's a big question. I can't say yes. I mean, they're a big part of the future for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I think they have to remain a big part of the future for the Toronto Maple Leafs. The future of the NHL is offense, and they obviously are very capable of providing offense. And I think it's actually a blessing in disguise. And actually, we spoke about this before, where William Nylander not doing well is actually kind of a blessing in disguise for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it was funny because over the weekend, Damian Cox actually wrote an article about how, saying, you know what, this isn't actually a bad thing either for the Toronto Maple Leafs, because William Nylander not showing up on the score sheet and not showing up as one of the leading scorers is actually diminishing his contract value, which is helping Lou Lamoriello and Brendan Shanahan to fit him under a salary cap with either a bridge contract or some sort of... He probably won't go with a long-term, less money per kind of deal. So it's probably, you're probably looking at a bridge contract for William Nylander, which is great for the Leafs. And I guess it's more beneficial to Nylander because he's got to prove that he can be that 30-goal scorer that a lot of people, including myself, because I did draft him in my pool, thought he would be.
Well, and it's interesting to note that he might end up being the gift that keeps giving if they can end up packaging him and getting my Christmas wish, which, you know, Oliver Ekman-Larsson. That's what I want for Christmas.
What was your package?
Number one bona fide. My package is William Nylander, Nazem Kadri, and a first-round draft pick. And I know you're thinking that sounds like you're giving away most of the North Pole and all of Santa's elves with it, but for this team to take the big step and be considered a true Stanley Cup contender in the same breath as a Tampa Bay Lightning or a St. Louis Blues, you need to get a number one stud D. And if that means trading one of your young kids, sometimes that's what you got to do.
That is interesting, but of course that then means you don't need a Drew Doughty if you get an Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Is that correct?
That's absolutely true.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't trade assets if I could get a guy for free.
And you think that the Maple Leafs have a chance, realistically, under the Mike Babcock predisposed relationship between those two fancy footloose freeloaders, that they could get together maybe and find a way to bring a cup to the city?
To get Drew Doughty?
Yeah.
No. Well, and let's just take a look at all of the big free agents in recent NHL history. Nobody leaves. They stay with their home club. No one is really left. Stamkos, the Sedins.
Yeah.
Getzlaf.
And soon to be Johnny Tavares.
Yep. Definitely.
So let me ask you this. What do you, the Habs fan, want for Christmas?
Oh, that's a very good question. What would I like for Christmas?
Yeah, what would you like for Christmas?
I would like, and this is from the Montreal Canadiens standpoint, obviously, a clearly defined direction for the club. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't sound like anything fancy. What that means is, I want to know what this club is doing. I want to know, because right now, they're on the outside of the playoffs looking in and potentially might make the playoffs and hope for the best, which just, what does that mean? Finish 16th, 15th overall and then get eliminated in the first round? Getting you a draft pick from in the middle of the draft, which means nothing? Or do you find out that you're not going to make the playoffs and finally decide, you know what, let's just start selling off some of our assets and start finishing lower and lower in the standings, thus getting ourselves a better draft pick? That's what I want. I just want direction. I want to know where this club is going to go.
That is one epic Christmas wish. I have a much shorter, more succinct Christmas wish. Do you want to know what it is?
Sure.
I just want Mike Babcock to be honest with the fan base and tell us the truth, that Auston Matthews does, in fact, have a concussion. Now, I know you're thinking, what kind of Christmas wish is that? It's a pretty lousy one.
Mm-hmm. Don't you want a Christmas wish saying the opposite? That Babcock will finally come out and say, you know what? He did not have a concussion. Wouldn't that be a better Christmas wish?
That would be. Now that I think of it, I've changed my mind. That is exactly my... I'm going to edit it so I get to say this. That is exactly the kind of Christmas wish that I want. Speaking of Christmas wishes, we've got our affiliates on the show. They're really excited to join us. You know those guys. I'm talking about Omar White from A Winning Habit, Baltimore Dave Stevenson from Puck Pros. All of these gentlemen will be coming on our show in a few moments talking about what they're hopeful for in the new season for their respective NHL teams.
Looking forward to it.
Should be great.
Yeah.
You know, I read somewhere in the good old hockey book that it is better to give than to receive, just like at Christmas. Although I would argue it is much better to score than to be scored upon. And if not for the fortuitous arrival of a minor league goaltender named Scott Darling this month, it's very likely that you as a Toronto Maple Leafs fan might be looking at this Christmas season and wondering, what's up with all this Scrooge-like behavior for the Toronto Maple Leafs? Listen, I'm glad that Mitch Marner and William Nylander are slowly breaking out of this perception that they've all but disappeared on the score sheet. But for fans of the team, if you're going to be expecting more, these next few games might dictate whether or not the team has any actual momentum as they go into the second half of what is an important season in their overall growth and development. And while I think games against Arizona and Colorado will certainly go a long way towards curing what ails them, I'm a little bit concerned about facing Henrik Lundqvist and the New York Rangers and having a New Year's Eve game against the Golden Knights that we know will probably be a difficult one simply by virtue of the team being distracted. I certainly hope that while William Nylander and Mitch Marner are opening their Christmas gifts this year, maybe they can find some time to give their fans some of that enjoyment that comes with the giving season by making certain that this recent stretch of superlative play and outwardly all-worldly effort is duplicated for as long as possible, because things aren't going to get easier. This is a tough grind in the NHL, and now is the time for the Maple Leafs to show whether or not they really are going to be like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, or maybe they might end up being the Grinch that stole the entire NHL season.
Yep, that is the song from A Charlie Brown Christmas, Christmas Time Is Here. The reason why I'm playing that song is I had a thought. The Montreal Canadiens are a lot like that ugly little Christmas tree in A Charlie Brown Christmas. I mean, think about it. It's an ugly little Christmas tree. You know, it's scrawny. It's not full of nice pine needles. There's a few nice decorations and ornaments on the tree. It's just not a full, complete tree. Now, I'm not saying the Montreal Canadiens are ugly or an ugly hockey team, but let's face it, they're an incomplete hockey team. Just like some of the nice ornaments on the Charlie Brown Christmas tree could be, say, Paul Byron, Brendan Gallagher, Carey Price, of course, and Shea Weber, but there's still not enough ornaments to make this team good. What Montreal needs is Linus to come bring his security blanket, his little baby blue security blanket. Maybe that Linus is Mark Bergevin. Maybe Mark Bergevin should lay down his blanket and start building this team and get some more friends to help build this team and put the decorations up so that everyone could build this team. They need Max Pacioretty to help build this team and make it better. They need others to make it better. They need Jonathan Drouin to help decorate this team a little bit more. They need Alex Galchenyuk to help, again, decorate this team a little bit more. Once that's all done, then maybe they can all sing Christmas carols around this great team, this great franchise, and make Christmas wishes come true. But right now, the Montreal Canadiens are that little Christmas tree in a very Charlie Brown Christmas.
I want to welcome Omar White from A Winning Habit on HVL yet again to come and talk to us about our favorite pastime, the Montreal Canadiens. Omar, welcome to HVL yet again.
Hey, you know, it's always a good time to be on HVL, so I'm glad to be on.
Omar, in keeping with the Christmas theme of today's episode, I wanted to ask you a couple questions. First, what would you like to see under the Christmas tree for the Montreal Canadiens? And what would you like to see as a stocking stuffer for the Montreal Canadiens?
Oh, that's a good one. Well, definitely under the Christmas tree, I'd say probably a 7 or 8 game winning streak. Just because,
wow.
even though the Montreal Canadiens are still kind of in it, they are benefiting from being in. I wouldn't even say arguably they are in the worst division in the league. Like I believe as it stands now, them, Florida, Detroit, and I believe Ottawa are separated by about 3 or 4 points, something around there. So, you know, and then you have Boston, who I think has a pretty, I wouldn't say a decent lead up on them, but you know, they're in third in the Atlantic right now, and they have a couple games in hand as well. So, you know, for the Montreal Canadiens to push into that final spot and keep it, they're going to have to string together some wins and keep up some kind of momentum and not let it slip. In terms of a stocking stuffer, I don't know. Jonathan Drouin getting his
big.
Jonathan Drouin getting his face-off percentage up would be nice.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Just because, you know, he's been. I think he's obviously been, you know, been the player to watch all season, but also, you know, the fact that he does spend a lot of times in games losing faceoffs, and we know how important winning a faceoff is in this league, because, you know, if you lose and that's more extra work you have to do to get the puck back and generate possession and stuff, and I feel like that's why Julian had the experiment of having Andrew Shaw on his wing, but, you know, that all changed. And, you know, and Drouin, I believe he was at a 60% against Vancouver. So, you know, if that keeps up, that'll be fine. But, you know, for him to actually, you know, continue to grow and further his path as being a center in the NHL, like, winning faceoffs is definitely key. And going back to Andrew Shaw, you know, we've seen what can happen if you win a faceoff. I believe 3 of Weber's goals this season were right from Andrew Shaw faceoff wins. And even in the Vancouver game again, Shaw wins the faceoff on that power play, and Jeff Petrie gets a goal off the point. So that's those are probably 2 things I'd want. Definitely the winning streak will be more important there.
You know, Omar, when people look back at this calendar year 2017, we're only less than 2 weeks away from a new year. What would you say for fans of the Canadiens that there's perhaps one thing that they can look forward to in the new year, kind of like looking up at the Northern Star and saying, hey, when you wish upon a star, maybe something good will happen in 2018. What's the one thing you think fans of the Montreal Canadiens should take with them into the new year as hopeful?
It's interesting because, you know, you could say that, you know, like the possible return of Victor Mete after World Juniors, that could be something, even though a lot of people, and myself included, are kind of leaning on the possibility of him going back to junior for the rest of the season. But I think the one thing that Montreal Canadiens fans may have to look forward to may not necessarily be a good thing, and is an answer. I wrote about I think last week how this road trip, even including the games going into January, are going to be very telling of what the rest of the season is going to be. You know, if they struggle for the rest of this road trip and lose, like, say, another 3 or 4 games, and then they go into January and lose those 2 games against Boston, then it's looking pretty slim on whether they can make the playoffs or not. So then you'll have your actual answer on whether they're going to be a buyer or a seller at the deadline. So then it gives Montreal Canadiens fans a little peace of mind, opposed to, you know, constantly waking up and debating, you know, whether they can make a push, whether, you know, they're going to tank, whether they're going to retool. So it's not necessarily the flashiest answer. I guess the only benefit of that is that if they do commit to this being, you know, being a year without the playoffs, then maybe we'll see players like Noel Juulsen make his NHL debut maybe. They just called up Brett Lernot from Laval in place of Shea. Well, not really in place of Shea Weber, but just to have that extra body. So that could be something. But yeah, it's a bittersweet type of thing. But I believe that's getting an answer is one thing Montreal Canadiens fans will probably look forward to.
Mm-hmm. Omar, there's a saying, great minds think alike, or there's also the saying of fools seldom differ. And your answer, your response in terms of getting an answer and a direction for the team actually quite mirrors what I was talking to Mr. Shapiro about just a few minutes earlier on our podcast. So, yeah, I think we're onto something here.
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm not just a pretty face, so.
Well, and one thing for sure, you're one of the up-and-coming true bloggers and writers on the Montreal Canadiens scene. A lot of people read your work, and we're big fans of it, of course. Tell us what's cooking with the Winning Habit and what you've got in store for the weeks to come and in the new year.
Well, you know, just like how this episode is Christmas-themed, I'm trying to get a little Christmas type of flavor to Winning Habit coming up. So I have an idea of kind of getting all the writers involved in a single post of having a Christmas wish list in terms of the Montreal Canadiens. So things that they want, would be it a trade, maybe a movement, a line combination, something like that. I also kind of started working on a little the night before Christmas Montreal Canadiens style. So basically taking that little song, poem, however you want to describe it, and then giving it a spin on the Montreal Canadiens. I've had a couple of chuckles while writing it, so hopefully the rest of the public likes that. And there's other things, you know. That's the thing about Christmas, is that it's such an overwhelming not even a holiday. It's just like it's just a peace of mind, if that kind of makes sense. And you know, you can get a lot of stuff from it and get people in the right mood. So you know, maybe hey, sure, I can maybe make like a How the Grinch Stole Christmas type of thing as well. But definitely keeping true to the Christmas spirit, and even New Year's as well, is going to be something that I'll have coming up at Winning Habit. So hopefully everyone here can check it out.
Be sure to check it out at FS A Winning Habit. And of course, his name is Omar White. You can find him on Twitter at OLW93. Omar, always have pleasure to have you come by and visit us here on Habs Fan versus Leafs Fan.
Yeah, and it's always an honor to be here. So thanks.
Next on HVL is another one of our fantastic affiliates that we're awfully proud of, Kamal. You know I'm talking about Puck Pros, which is a fantastic, true NHL generalist site that covers everything under the sun when it comes to fan-sided NHL. So with us right now is Baltimore Dave Stevenson. How are you doing? Thanks for joining the show.
I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing
great.
Well.
Doing great.
Dave, I couldn't help but notice you've got a recent article that's been trending for the last 24 hours or so called Patrick Marleau Embracing Role of Team Dad. I figured in the spirit of Christmas, why don't you tell us a little bit about this article and what fans of the Leafs should be aware of when it comes to Patrick Marleau's influence on this young fledgling Maple Leafs team?
Well, the article is actually inspired by a tweet from Patrick's wife, Christine, where she said, Patrick with his boys, and Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews are in it with their four boys. So that just kind of inspired me. And, you know, Patrick Marleau has had a great influence on the ice, and the Leafs signed him precisely because of that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's also providing a lot of value off the ice, and you can tell because he's hanging out a lot with Matthews and Marner.
What kind of an influence do you think he's having in that regard? I mean, are they truly bonding to his family and showing that he's more than just a free agent hired gun, that this guy might be the chemistry and glue that helps young players like that take the next step in their NHL careers?
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember a direct quote from it is, Austin and Mitch were teaching Patrick Marleau about all these texting short things, like, you know, HBU. That's the sound of the article, but Marleau's been teaching Matthews and Marner a bunch of card games. So, like, it's kind of a really fun dynamic that I like hearing about. And they're always talking, and Austin and Marner are always talking about Marleau. So it's clear he's having a very positive influence on them.
What about his performance on the ice, Dave? Are you happy with what he's done for the Maple Leafs, how much they're paying him to do it, and whether or not people should stop thinking that he's just simply a hired gun? He seems to have really bonded with this team, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. As far as his contract, listen, we all know he's a bit overpaid, but I think it's going to be worth it at least to win a Stanley Cup. And he provides them with a lot of depth. He's been a guy who Mike Babcock feels he could put on any line, and he's going to do well. There's a lot of value in somebody like that.
Dave, you recently wrote about the New York Islanders and their goaltending woes, and they've been in the news lately, the Islanders, with some of their future arena announcements, and specifically with their Belmont Arena bid. What sort of things do you think that'll have, what sort of effect will that have on the John Tavares decision in terms of him becoming a free agent?
Oh, I think it certainly helps the Islanders' chances of re-signing them, because I think the biggest reason why he hasn't signed yet, or why he didn't sign like precisely the second he could, is he's not certain about the future. I think once the season started, I think that's when I realized they're probably not going to do this in the season because John Tavares is the guy who wants to focus on winning and nothing else. So I don't think an extension gets done until after the season, but I would be surprised if Tavares goes anywhere except Belmont.
So, yeah, it looks like he's going to be taking the route that most big-time free agents have taken in the past, which is they're just going to stay with their club team and not explore any other options. They just want to get their max value.
Yeah, that's what I honestly think. Like, there aren't too many other teams that could honestly give him the salary that he deserves and still be a competitive team.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the likely salary cap likely rising, it's going to be difficult for virtually any other contender to be able to fit him in on a long-term deal.
Dave, a team very close to you, with you being located in Baltimore. Ari and I have noticed that the Capitals are kind of just coasting along, having a good season, and very quietly having a great season is Alexander Ovechkin. What do you see as the reason for Ovechkin just kind of quietly having a great season?
I think the difference this year is he's been a lot more productive at Eden's rank. Usually he's a guy who will get almost half his goals via the power play, and this year he's not getting virtually anything with the power play. I think he's very motivated right now. I think virtually any time in his career people have doubted him, it's like he takes it to heart, he comes back, and he shows everybody why he's Alex Ovechkin. I think he did some different training this year to focus more on his skating than his power, and I think it's really showing because he looked about as good as he has in years on the ice.
Now, Dave, we're always thrilled to have you aboard, not only just as an affiliate, but as a real expert on all the different things going on in the NHL. If you had one Christmas wish for the NHL in 2018, what would it be? What would you like to see either with the teams in the league or the league itself and how the game is presented to its fans that you think would make 2018 a special year as a Christmas wish?
I wish the NHL would put the Maple Leafs and the Oilers on national television in America more often. It makes no sense to me why you have two great stars and you're just, for some reason, not really putting them on NBCSN or NHL Network that often. Imagine if the NBA did this with LeBron James. That would be outrageous.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal point. You've reminded us why you just might be our favorite American of all time in that regard.
Yeah, is it because Americans aren't interested in teams outside? I mean, the perception here in Canada is that hockey is a very regional sport in the States. Is that the reason why NBC doesn't want to put the Torontos and the Edmontons on TV? Is because generally Americans don't care about their teams outside of their own city?
Well, that might be partially it, but still, you could at least try. Like the Leafs and the Oilers are getting a lot of headlines right now, even in the standpoint. Like, before, they were just a really bad team, so nobody cared too much about them. But I think now people would. And a secondary point, and I actually wrote an article about this, I'd enjoy seeing, like, a Young Stars team of first and second year players in the All-Star game taking on the rest of the division. I think that would be a really fun thing for me to watch.
That's yet another great idea. That's actually a good idea. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you something. It doesn't surprise me because his name is Baltimore Dave Stevenson. You can find him at @puck_pros on Twitter. The website is www.puckpros.com, and you can find him on Twitter at Baltimore Davey. Dave, always a pleasure to have you drop by and visit with us here at Habs Fan vs. Leafs Fan.
Always good to be on your show, guys.